Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen. Thanks for praying with me, guys. Today, as you're having a seat, get your Bibles out and go with me to Hebrews, the 13th chapter once again. We are going line upon line, precept upon precept. We believe that the word was written that way. We ought to be able to understand it that way. We've been going through Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and it's really been talking about our relationships, talking about brotherly love continuing on, talking about marital relationships, talking about entertaining strangers and that sort of a thing. And now we come to verse number 7, and we find the word of the Lord in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. In verse number 7, we're going to read it in a moment, but I want to tell you the title of today's message. The title of today's message is this: When It Comes to Church Leaders, ... Or might I say, dun, 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 right? When it comes to church leaders, there's something that we ought to know, and the word of the Lord outlines it for us here in the Bible. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 7, says this. It says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." Now, we've already been told to remember those that are in chains. We've been told to let brotherly love continue. We're told to keep marriage honorable and that sort of a thing. And now here it comes, and it starts talking to us about church leadership. Specifically those in this verse that talked to others and declare the word of the Lord to them. And so it says, remember those who rule over you. These are the leaders. These are the people who have been given authority in the church. And it says, who have spoken the word of God to you. These are people who are declaring what God says to the people so that their lives can continue to be blessed and be healthy in the way that the Lord would have. And it says, whose faith follow, that we are supposed to be leaders. And if we're leaders, then you're not a leader unless someone's following you. Otherwise, if you're out there in front and you're just headed in a direction, but nobody's following you, you're just somebody taking a walk, right? And so it says, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Look at their lives, examine what's going on, and see if what they're saying lines up with their actions and their activities. You know, I'm very grateful for the leaders that God has placed in my life. It's just been a blessing throughout my lifetime. In fact, when I got saved at age 15 as a young teenager who just, you know, had everything in his life changed, even though I was raised in a Christian home, I wasn't saved until I took that time and actually gave God all my heart and all my life. And when I was born again, we were headed into a church, and there was a new pastor. His name was Dr. Rich Hall. He's a great man of God and just a wonderful man. And he challenged our church. And he declared the word of the Lord to us. In fact, it's kind of funny. He was teaching Hebrews at the time. And just so neat to see just how he boldly declared the word of the Lord. He hit subjects head on that were hard to do. And he challenged our church, and he told our church, I want to challenge you guys to read through the Bible in 1 year. Read three chapters a day, five on Sundays, and you'll be done with it in a year. Now, I devoured the word. I got done with it in like 8 months. And I made it my life's goal as a Christian now to just get the word of the Lord on the inside of me. And so I've been going through the word every year of my life ever since then. Now for over 2 decades, just devouring the word of God. And I've slowed down. I'm not doing 3 chapters a day anymore. I'm doing little sections now, and just because it's not fast food, it's good food, right? And so I've slowed down, and now I'm just ingesting and digesting and you know, just going through the word of the Lord. And it's been a blessing to my life. I'm so grateful for a man who stood up and challenged a church and who led the people well. I'm grateful for the youth pastors that I've had in my life. Grateful for Willie Barons, who took us on missions trips and showed us a greater picture of the world. I'm grateful for Tom Deeks, who discipled me as a young man. I'm grateful for John Hall, Pastor Rich's son, who came in as an interim youth pastor for a year and took us on surf trips and showed us that being a Christian doesn't mean you have to not be cool or that you can't have any fun. I mean, we had a blast going on those surf trips, and then we'd open our Bibles together out there on the beach and talk about the word and pray together. Very grateful for Pastor Don and for Kevin Stanfield down at North Coast Presbyterian Church, who didn't even know me, but took me on as an intern and encouraged me and poured into my life and let me cut my teeth in ministry. Very grateful for our founding pastors, Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah Cobray, who made sacrifices for this place and who sold properties and land and who gave it all and who endured and who continued to plow and continued to build and paved the way, and who, when I was a young pastor, brought me on and encouraged me. And over there on the front row, you'll never know how much ministry and how much mentorship went on that front row when they would lean over and say, "Dan, watch this. cautious. Watch what they're doing right now. See how that's going on? This is what you need to pay attention to right here. Or Pastor Deborah, I mean, you can't sit next to her when the word is being preached without her showing you 52 other scriptures that confirm what word is being preached there from the pulpit. And she'll show it to you in the Message, in the Amplified, in the New Living Translation, and then she'll tell you what she thinks about it as well. I can't tell you how much they poured into our lives at dinner conversations and just believed in us and raised us up, and now they've given us a platform that we can launch farther and go faster. I'm so grateful for our founders. Grateful for the men and women in this church who have gone before us. I'm grateful for Pastor Joel and Joanna, who are leading people into restoration and healing in their life and dealing with critical care issues on a regular basis. I'm very grateful for Reverend Teresa Aguilar, who has studied to show herself approved and who is a woman of God and who is a leader in her own right and is doing amazing things at this church, pouring into and mentoring people. I'm very grateful for all of our staff. I mean, they're just here plowing day in and day out, greeting people, loving people, inputting their names and prayer requests and all that kind of stuff. Grateful for Mignon Beckham, who's gone to the streets and loved people to life, and who you can take the most pitiful, most down and out person, they're down in the dumps, and you hand them to Mignon, she's hugging them, she's kissing them, she walks away smelling like them, but she doesn't care because they walk away knowing that they're the greatest person on the planet. I'm grateful for Dr. Fred and Robin Adams. Dr. Fred, happy birthday yesterday, man. Love you so much. He went out, he got a massage and a manicure and a mani-pedi and all that. He just pamper. You look shiny today, bruh. Man, that head is looking good. I love it. I love it. But I'm grateful for these guys who have been here for over 20 years just plowing away. And there have been times where Dr. Fred took care of issues that nobody else wanted to take care of. He'd walk out into that front foyer when trouble was going on and he knew he had to handle some business. I'm grateful for men and women like that. I am so grateful for Pastor Tony and for Angelina Aguilar, who are here plowing away, who's taken on. He's a young man, but my goodness, this guy has some passion and some fire on the inside of him, who's looking to raise up relationships and loving people, and they're working with the young adults. I'm grateful for Michael and Krista Espinosa, wonderful people, and all of our staff doing web department, but also working and breaking free different areas. I'm grateful for the leaders and for the people who are delivering the word of God here in this house. I'm very grateful, and it blesses me to see what's going on. The Bible says, remember those who rule over you. And when it comes to church leaders, you know, when we look at the position of a pastor, someone said this, they said the pastor teaches though he must solicit his own classes. He heals though without pills or knife. He's sometimes a lawyer, often a social worker, something of an editor, a bit of a philosopher, an entertainer, a salesman, a decorative piece for public functions. He's supposed to be a scholar. He visits the sick, marries people, buries the dead, labors to console those who sorrow and admonish those who sin. He tries to stay sweet when chided for not doing his duty. He plans programs, appoints committees when he can get them, spends considerable time in keeping people out of each other's hair. Between times, he prepares a sermon and preaches it on a Sunday to those who don't happen to have any other engagement at that time. And then on Monday, he smiles when some jovial chap roars, "What a job, one day a week." Yeah, one day is called Era Day. Every day of the week, all day long, it never stops. When in the middle of the night, the Lord wakes you up and says, pray for this person. God, what do I pray? Just pray right now. Okay, Lord, all right. We're going to pray for this person. I don't know what to pray, so God, it's coming out in tongues right now, I guess. When the Lord wants to take a little bit of extra time and talk to you about the message, wants to tell you about what's going on in the church, wants to just get you going on the right direction, when you're thinking about things and when your children are talking to you, and after a while, your mind starts to wander to the ministry. See, this never stops. The weight of it stays on you all the time. And so the Bible says that pastors and leaders really are to be examples for the flock. And that brings us to the first thing. When it comes to church leaders, we're going to answer this statement a couple of times today. When it comes to church leaders, what do you do with them? You know, you guys are the ones that are here. You guys are the ones that God is equipping and God is pouring into. You guys are the ones that have come to church today. And so when it comes to church leader, how are you supposed to respond? How are you supposed to look at them? How are you supposed to see them? And this is the first thing that we see from the word of the Lord. When it comes to church leaders, follow. First thing is this, is follow. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7 says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So you're supposed to follow. That means that we as pastors and as leaders, we have to lead. We have to lead by example. The Bible tells us that pastors in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, in the Amplified version, it says to tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God, which is your responsibility. That is our job description. That we are to tend, to nurture. We are to feed you guys. We are to guard you guys. That if winds of doctrine come into this place, or somebody's trying to pry on you or prey on you for multi-level marketing or get money out of you or take you away, that we are to raise the shepherd's staff and crack down on that sucker, right? That we are to guide you guys. If we see you going in the wrong direction, we're to take that shepherd's crook and we're to pull you back into the green pastures, to lead you beside the still waters as the great shepherd is leading us. We are to fold the flock of God. We bring you guys together and we keep you in safe havens, and we gather you for church services and for special events. That is our job. We are to lead. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul speaks to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. Timothy, he left in Ephesus to be the lead pastor, to set up systems in the church and to make sure that things were going on. Probably 750,000 people in the church at Ephesus. And he says this to Timothy. He says, let no one despise your youth. Timothy, it's not about you being a young man, inexperienced, that sort of a thing. Let no one despise your youth. He says, but be an example. Live your life, Timothy. Be an example to the believers in word, what you say, in conduct, what you do, in love for God, for others, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Keep it clean, Timothy. Keep it strong, Timothy. Keep it going, Timothy. You are an example. You know, I believe that God doesn't put pastors and ministers on a pedestal. I believe he puts them in a fishbowl. And the reason why I think he does that is because I believe God wants us to be spectacles, like the Apostle Paul said. That the people can look at our lives and they can get a peek in behind the curtain at the inner workings. And that's why we're so upfront with you guys. You ever wonder why we're so transparent in this ministry? I mean, there have been times where I know I have stepped up in this pulpit and said, I just had a fight with my wife on the way here, and I need y'all to know it because there can't be any hypocrisy in the pulpit. We resolved it. We prayed together. She still kind of didn't like me. I still don't kind of like her. But you know what? We're in love and we're working this thing out together. You know, we say that in this church. Why? Because we want to make you laugh, or because we want you to know that we're fighting? No, we would rather not, honestly. But we want you guys to see that we're human. If you prick us, we'll bleed. We're no more anointed. We're anointed to preach this word, but we're no more anointed to live it out than you are. We're all in this together. And so God lets you see into our lives so that you can follow our faith. You can't go where no one's leading. And so we're leading you. That's why oftentimes we're not bragging on ourselves when we tell you about our successes. We're showing you, hey, if God can use this punk kid from Moreno Valley who had rock star dreams and didn't really know where he was going, if he can take me and do something great with me, how much more can God do with you? That's what this is really all about. You've heard Pastor Jim and Deborah say it over the years. If God can take two broken people and bring them together to put them into one of the greatest churches on the planet, what can God do with your life? That's why you're to examine our lives. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, now he's not speaking to pastors anymore. Now he's speaking to people in church. And look at what he says. He says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. He says, those things that you see me doing, when you see me praying, when you see me believing God, when you see me going out and doing the works of the ministry, when you see me serving the Lord with godly reverential fear, whatever you see in me, imitate me. My life is here to be a spectacle. Why? So that you can follow, you can see, and you can do. But then look at what he goes on to say at the end of that verse. He says, just as I also imitate Christ. In other words, he knows who is the real leader. You know, in this church, we've always said it, that the real senior pastor is Jesus Christ. Not Dan Roth, not Jim Cobray, not Luke Cobray, not Jessica or Deborah, or anybody else. The real senior leader of this church, his name is Jesus. That's who we're all following. But the implication here at the end of this verse is, if I don't imitate Christ, don't imitate me. Follow me as I follow Christ. We're following the leader. That means, you know what? Pastor Dan is a human. I am a man. I'm still living in this flesh body, you know, and I'm not above temptation and snares and sins and things like that. And so if you see in me that I'm getting off track, then stop following me in that area. Don't go and do that. Don't do that. Pray for me, right? Let's believe God. And I am accountable to other people. I have people in my life like Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah, who I still consider to be my pastors, even though they say Pastor Dan is our senior pastor. That's a little weird for me to wrap my brain around, you know, because I have such respect for them. But at the same time, I'm submitted to them. I'm submitted to my wife. I'm accountable to my wife. I'm accountable to the pastors and leaders on this staff. And we have a board of directors that I'm accountable to, that if they see something going on in my life where I'm getting off track, they will correct me, they will rebuke me, and they will help me to get back in line and restore me. See, and so when you see those things in me, if I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Pray for me. Believe God for me. Encourage me. Send me a scripture or something like that through the email or whatever you need to do. That's what this is all about. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. But if I'm not imitating Christ, then don't follow me. When it comes to church leaders, look at our lives, examine our faith, see if it works, and then implement it in your life. Second thing that I see in the word of the Lord in the book of Hebrews is this. It's not only follow, but look at this. Listen and do. Listen and do. Now, I got a joke for you today. Is that okay? In fact, I got two jokes. All right, anybody like jokes? Hopefully you like these ones, okay? A stranger entered in church in the middle of the sermon, seated himself in the back row. After a while, he started to yawn, started to fidget around over a little bit. You know, he's kind of like, what's going on? This is going on a little bit long. The preacher's a little bit long-winded. And so he leans over to a gray-haired man, obviously one of the longtime members of the church, and he says, how long has he been preaching? The man sat back and considered for a second. Said, I think about 30 or 40 years he's been a preacher. Been preaching 30 or 40 years, yeah. And he leaned back and he said, oh, I guess I'll stay. He's probably about done by now. Whatever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 this time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Look at what it says. It says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, I want to just break this verse down for a second because it says so much. First thing it says is, obey those who rule over you. Now, this is not a blind obedience. This is not whatever I tell you to do that you must do and only do that. Okay, I am not into the 1970s shepherding movement, you know, where I tell you what job to go get and what car to buy and what house to live in and who to marry and how to brush your teeth. Listen, guys, I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. I won't. I'm not able to do all that. And I don't believe that God has called me to do that. So I'm not here to tell you every little step of your life. I'm not the Holy Spirit for you. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit for you. And he can tell you all that kind of stuff, okay? He'll make sure that you get the molars in the back and that everything's clean, all right? He can do that for you. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to be your pastor. And when it says obey those who rule over you, really that obedience, that word obey, is talking about being persuaded and won over. In other words, when we start to declare the word of the Lord to you, when we start to proclaim the gospel truth to you, that you are to listen, you are to consider, you to see if it lines up with the word of the Lord and witnesses with what God says. And then as you find out, yeah, that's truth, then you are to, look at this, and be submissive. You are to willfully put yourself under the authority of that word. That's why when you come to a church and when we talk about things like membership, when we start to talk about things like joining a church, talking about submission to your pastors, what you're doing is you're saying, I can see from the word of God that what they're saying is truth, and therefore I'm willfully submitting myself to what they're saying and to what they're doing. As long as we're not telling you to sin, it's going to benefit you. How do I know that? Because look at the rest of the verse. As those who must give an account. Listen, guys, when I go to heaven, I'm going to stand there alone before God and give an account of my life, not of your life. But guess what? God's going to ask me how I stewarded and how I led in the church of Almighty God. He's going to say, hey, what did you tell them about their marriage? Why weren't you praying for them when they needed prayer? Did you do everything that you could to encourage and to help that person out? What about all these people that you didn't know? What's going on in their lives? What about the direction that you took the church? See, I have to give an account for your soul. Even though I'm there by myself, you're there by yourself. God's looking at me as the leader saying, how did you lead? And guess what else? The Bible says that teachers are going to receive a stricter judgment. Oh my gosh, you guys. We better mind our P's and Q's as church leaders, huh? And especially as those who deliver the word of God. That's why we study. That's why we prepare. That's why we pray. That's why we are so careful to do everything that we need to do to deliver the word of God with accuracy and with integrity, is because when we go before the Lord, the hammer is coming down. The judge is Jesus, and he's looking at our lives and how we led. So look at what it says. Let them do so with joy. You know, John, the apostle, said, there's no greater joy than I have than when my children are serving the Lord. No greater joy. So if you want to bless the hearts of your pastors, all you got to do is live this thing out. All you got to do is listen, be persuaded, won over, readily submit yourself, and do what the word of God says. And then when I hear the good reports coming back, my goodness, there's no greater joy than when I find out somebody got it. Somebody listened. Somebody did it. Somebody applied it, and somebody got blessed. Now, let me ask you a question. You better tell the truth. Don't you lie in church, all right? Do you want to be blessed?
Yes.
Only the center section wants to be blessed. What about y'all over there? Do you guys want to be blessed?
Yes.
What about you on top? You want to be blessed?
Yes.
Maybe. Okay. They're waving at me up here. You guys want to be blessed back there in the back top section? You guys want to be blessed? Huh?
Yes.
What about you guys over here?
Yes.
Yes. They want to be blessed. They want to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed. We want to. So look at what it says. Not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for who? For you. For you. In other words, I can preach this, I can spit, I can have veins popping out of my neck, the pastors can get up here, teach the word of God, admonish you, you can sit down with us in our offices, we can open up the word of the Lord for you, but if you don't submit yourself to it, you're not going to receive the benefit of it. When you start to serve the Lord and you bring joy by blessing and serving the Lord, and now all of a sudden you're getting it, when all of a sudden your life is blessed, when the marriage starts to work, when the children start getting in line, when all of a sudden you're a witness and a testimony, when you're getting lit up by the things of God, now that's a joy to us. And look at it, it is profitable for you. God wants you blessed. Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing. You guys ready for the second joke? Here it comes. A group of ministers and a salesman's organization were holding conventions at the same hotel, two different conference rooms, and the catering department had to work double time at top speed to make sure that everybody got their dinners on time, hot and piping. And so after dinner, they started to serve the desserts, but the salesmen were gonna have a spiked watermelon dessert, okay? It had liquor in it, and so they were gonna serve that to the salesmen, but they noticed that the guy carrying the tray started going into the pastor's section and started to deliver it. And the head chef said, no, that's the wrong place. That's the wrong place. Get him back here. And by the time they rushed out and they got him back, they said, I'm sorry, they already took all the watermelon off the tray. And so they rushed to the door and they look inside and they said, well, do you think they like it? And the guy said, I don't know, but they're putting the seeds in their pockets. Thank you. Which brings us to the last one. Would you pray for us? We need some prayer, guys. We need lots and lots of prayer. Please pray for pastors. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those who deliver the word of God to you. Look at what verse 18 says in Hebrews chapter 13. This time, verse number 18, it goes on. And pray for us. Plain and simple. You know, the Apostle Paul was never ashamed to ask people to pray. He asked the church at Colossae. He asked the Philippians. He asked the Thessalonians. He asked those in Corinth. He said, pray for me, 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 pray for me. It was like a record on repeat, right? Back and forth. Pray for me. Why? We need prayer. We're humans. We're subject to the same temptations and trials that you guys are. And don't you know the devil's after pastors? Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That's the principle from the word of the Lord, and the devil knows that. If he can mess us up, he'll mess you up. And so you need to pray for us. See, you find the Apostle Paul asking for prayer. You find people all throughout the word praying for their leaders. And he says, look at this, for we are confident that we have a good conscience. You know what he's saying? We know what we're doing is right, and we know we're doing it with integrity. You know, I know that out there in the world, they have blasted pastors and leaders. There's been scandals in the church, that sort of a thing. And the devil, don't you know the devil loves to exalt those things so that people are weary of church and people don't want to go to church. Oh, they're just all about money. Every pastor is a cheater, all that kind of stuff. That's foolishness, guys. And that's a lie from the pit of hell to keep people from trusting their leaders and from sinking themselves into the things of God. For every one scandalous pastor or wolf in sheep's clothing that's been out there, there are thousands behind him that are serving the Lord with godly fear, that are just plugging away. They're unseen. They are the heroes and they are the backbone of this society, holding up, being salt and light each and every week. And so he says, we're confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. There's no pastor that I know of who's a real pastor that's saying, I just can't wait to usurp money out of people. I can't wait for someone to fail. I can't wait to get that person's husband or wife. I don't know anyone. What I know about them is they're saying, I can't wait to see what God does in someone's life. I can't wait to see their marriage blessed. I can't wait to see them get financially secure and stable. That's the desire of every pastor. Guys, we just want to serve the Lord. We just want to bless you. We just want to encourage you. We want to see our children serving the Lord because there's no greater joy than that. Now look at verse number 19. He says, but I especially urge you to do this. To do what? To pray for us. I'm urging you a whole bunch to pray for us. And look what he says, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Listen, this is a real minister. This is a real leader. You know how I know that? Because they want to be with the people. Real pastors aren't like, oh, I can't wait to get away from the people. Ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people, right? I heard one minister say that as a joke. But see, ministry is all about the people. Because why? God is all about the people. That's why he sent Jesus. He died for people. Angels are looking into the salvation of people. The devil is trying to grab a hold of people. And pastors are ministers. We are servants for the people. There is no greater place. There's no greater pleasure than being with the people. Guys, there ain't nowhere else I want to be, even though it's a beautiful day today. And I could be hiking. I could be surfing. I could be cruising. I could be watching, you know, channel surfing, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be any of those places. I want to be with you. You know why? Because I love you. Oh my goodness. It hurts when I'm away from you. We go on vacation to these places, these spots, and we love it. And it refreshes us and we're excited. But man, I can't wait to get back to church. Because why? The presence of God and the people of God. I want to be with y'all. We went on vacation one time. We posted a picture on Instagram or one of those, you know, and said, look at this, how beautiful this is. The wonderful place God made this. This is awesome. Somebody wrote back, Pastor, are you leaving us? No, I don't want to be there. I want to be in San Bernardino. The Inland Empire is my people. These are the people of God right here. My goodness, I love the people of God. I don't want to be in the South, you know, where they're all nice and sweetie pie and all that kind of stuff. I love them. They're great. But man, some of them patting you on the back to find out where they're going to stab you. See, in the Inland Empire, they just walk up to you and I don't like you. Right? Thanks. I don't like you either, right? It's refreshing. I love it. My goodness. We're real. We're in your face. We're blunt. We're bold. We're a little rough around the edges, and the world kind of scratches their head and say, why do you want to live there? Here's why. Because the people of God are in this place. Wow. I love it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Will you pray for us? We need your prayers. What are some areas you can pray for us? How about this? To minister and to serve well, for boldness, for our families, for our children to be raised up in the ways of the Lord, that they won't be hurt by the ministry or by people in the ministry. To get proper guidance as we speak to people, to have fresh experiences with God to draw from for our ministries, to avoid the temptation and the snares of the enemy, to be able to handle the weights and the pressures that come with the ministry, to finish our course with joy, and on and on and on and on. Please pray, 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 pray. Will you pray for us? Will you lift us up to the Lord? We take maybe a minute, maybe 2 minutes a day, and just pray for us. If somebody asks you, hey, what did you do this week? And you say, oh, I went to church, had a great time, Pastor Dan had a great message. You know what? I'm going to pray for him. And just let those little things be little reminders. As you do your daily devotionals, just lift us up. God, I pray that they're blessed. I pray that their family's blessed. God, I pray that you encourage them. God, I pray that I prayed a little prayer. God, send them some people. God, at the altar call, may it be filled. Lord, may they see the fulfillment in what they're doing. May they know that there's people that got their back. God, may they feel the love of God and the grace of God. May they endure temptation. May they not be drawn away, God. May they lead well and finish their course with joy. Will you pray for us? A couple of things that we learned today. Praise the Lord. When it comes to church leaders, number one is this, follow. Second thing is this, listen and do. And the final thing is pray for your church leaders. Did you guys get something from the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.